Well, hello, brethren. You know, one nice thing about speaking is that you don't have to wear a mask. I do have my stopwatch. I've been advised not to go more than 30 minutes. Is that right, Roy? 30 minutes? Yeah, okay. Brethren, when I mention God in this message, and this is the last time I'm going to say this, is that whenever I mention God in a message, I'm always referring to the Father and the Son. If I want to speak to one of them separately, I will call him either Father or Jesus. But when I say God, that means both of them. In addition, all the scriptures are from the New King James Bible, unless noted. So, brethren, the title of my last inspired message was Three Benefits of Being a Doer of the Word. In the November 13, 2021 message, we discussed from the Bible three benefits of being a doer of the Word. The first benefit was we will become a new creation daily, monthly, and yearly. The second benefit was we can maximize our earthly rewards. And the third benefit was we can maximize the rewards we will receive when Christ returns. In addition, we reviewed from the Bible God's incentive program. God's incentive program gives each of us the opportunity and the control of the quantity of earthly rewards we receive in this world, and the eternal rewards to be given to us when Christ returns. This is why Christ said, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and his angels, and he will reward each according to his works." Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. The call to action in my last message was, let's maximize our rewards in this world and our rewards when the Lord returns by being a smarter, better, and doer of the Word. Remember, brethren, we are not talking about God's free gift of salvation. We are talking about God's rewards. Unfortunately, Satan, who is powerful, baffling, and cunning, is working very hard to distract us from receiving God's rewards. Satan puts barriers in our walk with God to get us to stumble. Satan wants us to slow down, and better yet, to give up working for God's rewards. Satan wants the worst for us, and he will be happy if he prevents us from maximizing the rewards God's incentive plan allows us to receive. The title of today's message is Satan's Barriers to Receiving God's Earthly and Eternal Rewards. The title is Satan's Barriers to Receiving God's Earthly and Eternal Rewards. In today's message, we're going to review from the Bible some of the barriers Satan will use to prevent us from maximizing the rewards God's incentive plan allows us to receive. In the first part of this message, we will review what the Bible teaches about losing or forfeiting earthly and eternal rewards. You see, the Bible warns us that we can lose our reward and crown that we have already accumulated. In Revelations 3, verse 11, Revelations 3, verse 11, in the NIV Bible, it says, "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." Brethren, I could be wrong, but hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown, seems to imply that if you don't hold on to your rewards and crown, they can be taken from you. The Message Bible says it this way: I'm on my way. I'll be there soon. Keep a tight grip on what you have so no one distracts you and steals your crown. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, Paul says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." In the Good News Bible, it reads, "If you think you are standing firm, you had better be careful that you do not fall." In 2 John chapter 1, verse 8, John says, "Look to yourself that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward." A full reward. According to the Bible Knowledge Commentary, these scriptures speak of rewards that could become less because some of them have been lost or taken away. The danger is not loss of salvation, but loss of rewards. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and Jesus says, "For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." In the Matthew Henry commentary, it says, "Christ promised that if anyone is kind to his disciples, they will not lose their reward." In the parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25, the servant who was lazy and fearful loses his talent because he does not obey his master. Brethren, these scriptures warn us that we may lose some or all of our rewards or crowns, which we have already accumulated. Another way of saying it is our earned rewards and crown can be taken from us after we have earned them based on our behavior. In my first message, we talked about Judas, the apostle, who lost his potential rewards and crown because Judas was addicted to stealing money and was not committed to changing his behavior and becoming a new creation. Another example in the Bible is a person losing their potential rewards and crown is found in the story of King Saul. We know this story. King Saul was humble and chosen by God to be the first king of Israel, and God blessed him. But slowly, the spirit of pride started to grow in his heart, which led him to rebellion and disobedience to God's commands. Saul was rejected by God, and King Saul eventually lost his earthly rewards and crown, and maybe all of his accumulated eternal rewards. Brethren, the Bible talks about 8 behaviors causing people to lose their potential crown and their potential earthly and eternal rewards if the behaviors are not changed. These 8 behaviors are listed in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Please turn to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and I'm going to start reading at verse 7, But I'm going to read from the International Standard Bible Version. Jesus says in verse 7, "The person who conquers will inherit these things. I will be his God, and he will be my son." Then Jesus says in verse 8, "But people who are cowardly, unfaithful, detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will find themselves in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. This is the second death." Brethren, what are these behaviors, and who are these people who are not committed to changing their behavior and becoming a new creation? Let's take a few minutes to describe them. The first behavior is cowardly or fearful. These people head the list of eight. The cowardly or fearful are those believers who may care more about what man thinks of them than what God thinks of them. They don't have the courage to stand for God and spread God's truth in their schools, in their workplace, or in their community. Brethren, let's never forget the servant in the parable of the talents who was lazy and fearful, and his talent was taken away from him. The second behavior are the unfaithful or unbelievers. There is a clear distinction throughout Scripture between believers who followed Christ and unbelievers who do not follow him. Believers are always evolving and transforming into the image of Jesus. A believer who consciously stops evolving and transforming into the image of Jesus may be in jeopardy of losing their earthly and eternal rewards. The third behavior are the detestable. The Strong's number for abomination is G948. I'm going to spell it because I can't pronounce it. It's B-D-E-U-S-S-O. It means stink, to be disgusted, to detest. There are 71 verses in the New King James Bible with the word abomination. Time does not permit me to review all the scriptures that define what behaviors disgust God. However, this would make a good Bible study. The fourth behavior are murderers. Murderers are killers of people and self. Murderers are also people who are angry with someone. You know, Jesus said, "But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in living danger of the fires of hell." That's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22 in the New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22. The fifth behavior are the sexually immoral. The word whoremonger is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4 in the King James Bible. In the New King James Bible, it is translated as fornicator, and in the English and International Standard Version, it is translated as sexually immoral. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, "Paul sternly warns the believers that the reason they are to abstain from sexual immoral deeds is because those that practice them are not part of God's kingdom." The sixth behavior are the sorcerers. Adam Clark Commentaries defines sorcerers as people who, with drugs, potions, fumes, or certain chemicals, pretend to produce supernatural effects. Sorcerers can also be people who deal in witchcraft, like mediums or people chanting to spirits to produce supernatural effects. Simon the sorcerer is talked about in Acts chapter 8. The seventh behavior are idolaters. Idolaters are people who bow down to the things of the world and put persons, places, and things before God. The greatest idol is themselves. They want to do their own thing, and they love the things of the world. People can make an idol out of anything. And an idol is anything that keeps us from God and what He wants us to do. The eighth behavior are the liars. Liars are people who do not tell the truth and try to deceive others. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord and a behavior that the Lord hates. Brethren, people who continue in one or more of these eight behaviors and do not repent and work on changing their behavior are in jeopardy of losing both their earthly and eternal rewards. Brethren, in this first section of this message, we reviewed eight behaviors that Satan will use to cause brethren to lose or forfeit their earthly and eternal rewards if they do not change. They are cowardly, unbelieving, detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars. People who do not repent and work on changing these behaviors will most likely have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, in the second section of this message, we want to review three additional ways Satan uses to trick brethren into losing their earthly and eternal rewards. So we're going to review three more ways, subtle ways that Satan will use to trick us. The first way is to develop a Laodicean attitude. The first is to develop a Laodicean attitude. Christ describes these people with the Laodicean attitude in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Jesus says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so that because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." According to the Bible commentaries, the people in the Laodicean church possessed the worst attitude of all the people in the seven Asian churches. They were the opposite of the people in the church of Philadelphia. The Bible Knowledge Commentary said the Laodiceans believed in Jesus, but the pleasures and comforts of their world had relaxed them into a spiritual sleep, and they were content with their works and their vigor. When Jesus referred to the people as lukewarm, Christ had in mind that this was their permanent situation because they had stopped growing and changing. The Laodiceans were in the most dangerous spiritual state possible. The Laodiceans lacked commitment, and they had become unconsciously backsliders. The Matthew Henry commentary said, "The people were content with what they had, and therefore they were very indifferent about whether they grew better or not." Another way of saying it is the Laodiceans had stopped trying to become perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. The Adam Clark commentary said they felt little zeal for the salvation of the souls of others. They were not referred to as being spiritually dead or spiritually alive. They were indifferent, and indifferent leads to idleness. Brethren, when people become indifferent and idle, they stop becoming a new creation daily and monthly. And they stop increasing their good deeds, and they stop maximizing their earthly and eternal rewards. Now let's move to the second way Satan can trick us into losing our rewards. The second way is doing the right thing for the wrong reason. Doing the right thing for the wrong reason. Brethren, we know if we do the right thing for the right reason, we can expect to receive rewards from God. However, if we do the right thing for the wrong reasons, we can expect to not receive a potential reward from God. Please turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. This is a very familiar scripture, but it's a great example of doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. I'll start reading in verse 5. Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." You see, in these verses, Christ is describing people who are doing the right thing, praying, but for the wrong reason. Our Lord is speaking about the practice of prayer, which the Pharisees loved to do publicly. According to the Bible Knowledge Commentary, rather than making prayer a matter between an individual and God, the Pharisees had turned it into an act to be seen by men to demonstrate their supposed righteousness. Their prayers were directed not to God, but to other people, and consisted of long, repetitive phrases to impress other people and not God. These Pharisees were doing the right thing, but for the wrong reason. Now let's review the third way Satan can trick us into losing our reward. The third way is doing the wrong work for the right reasons. Doing the wrong work for the right reasons. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. In these scriptures, Paul is saying we can forfeit receiving potential rewards by doing the wrong work for the right reasons. Starting in verse 13, Paul writes, "Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though or through fire." According to the Bible Knowledge Commentary, Christ will judge his servant's work. Brethren, if our work supports God's plan for us, it will endure and we will receive our rewards. However, if our work is not according to God's plan for us, we may suffer loss and we will not maximize our eternal rewards. You know, think of Paul. God's plan for Paul was for Paul to spread God's truth to the Gentiles, right? If Paul decided to spread God's truth only to the Jews and not spread God's truth to the Gentiles, do you think Paul's reward would be as great when Christ returns? I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Brethren, potential earthly and eternal rewards can be lost and not credited to our account because we do the wrong work for the right reasons. Brethren, in this section of the message, we review three ways Satan can trick us into not maximizing our earthly and eternal rewards. The first way is for us to develop a Laodicean attitude and thus becoming indifferent and idle. The second way is to do the right thing for the wrong reasons. And the third way is to do the wrong work for the right reasons. Now, brethren, let's begin closing this message by starting to look at what works earns us earthly and eternal rewards. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. These scriptures by Paul are one of the most revealing scriptures on rewards. I will start reading at verse 8. Paul said, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." Let me repeat that. "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers." In one sentence, Paul describes our role as God's fellow workers when he said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Brethren, as God's fellow workers, it is our responsibility to plant and water spiritual seeds. How much time do we spend each week planting and watering spiritual seeds so that God can produce an increase? Brethren, let's not let Satan deceive us and rob us of maximizing our rewards by convincing us that we are not God's fellow workers and that we do not have a responsibility to plant and water seed. We do have a responsibility to plant and water seeds. One last thing, brethren. Our congregation has a new local outreach to help brethren plant and water spiritual seeds and maximize their earthly and eternal rewards. Mike, will you please show the Good News business card? Is it being shown? Not yet, okay. Mike, are you there? Oh. Okay. This Good News business card is the size of a regular standard business card. It's 2 inches by 3.5 inches. and it's currently being used by the followers of Jesus in the UCG congregation in San Antonio and Austin, Texas. And it will be made available to us, brethren, in the very near future. The same message is printed on both sides of this business card. And the reason San Antonio and Austin did this is so people can place it on a store window or a glass door, and the QR code can be scanned from both sides. You see that QR code, if you take your phone and scan that, it takes you right to UCG Beyond Today information on booklets regarding that particular booklet. It's a real simple way of spreading the message to someone. In addition, these good news cards can be handed to people or placed on a restaurant table after eating. They can also be placed on a table in a medical waiting room. They're much better to handle than the trifold brochure we used to have. You remember that brochure was kind of large. These business cards can fit in your pocket, your shirt pocket, and they can be easily placed anywhere. They can be included in envelopes when paying your bills or writing to someone who is not a member of UCG. And what's really neat is this outreach can be done without leaving the home. The good news business cards can be pinned on public bulletins, public bulletin boards in coffee shops like Starbucks, laundromats, schools, grocery stores, malls, libraries, hospitals, and other public places where permitted. We are also looking at receiving a second card that has different information on both sides of it. But this is our first entry into this particular outreach. Later on, we'll be receiving another card as soon as they make a couple changes. So, brethren, what is the call of action, call to action of this message? This is the call to action. Let us do the right thing. Let us maximize our earthly and eternal rewards by planting and watering spiritual seeds so God can produce an increase when and if it is His will. Let me repeat the call to action. Let us do the right thing. Let us maximize our earthly and eternal rewards by planting and watering spiritual seeds so God can produce an increase when and if it is His will. Was that close to the time, Roy? Okay.